Given the killings in South Carolina last week, some businesses rethink the sale of merchandise with symbols of the Confederacy. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. As you've been hearing, South Carolina's Governor Nikki Haley declared yesterday that the Confederate flag should be removed from the statehouse grounds there. Haley acknowledged the Confederate battle flag was used as a symbol of racial hatred by the man accused in the church murders. And now Walmart, the country's largest retailer, is saying it's removing all Confederate flag merchandise from its stores. Marketplace's Adam Allington is here with more on that. Adam, what do we know?
Walmart.com was selling Confederate flag-branded apparel such as T-shirts, bandanas, and belt buckles, as well as the actual flag itself. In a statement, Walmart said the company never wanted to offend anyone with its products and has taken steps to remove all items promoting the Confederate flag from its stores and websites. The spokesman said Walmart has a process in place to help lead them to the right decisions when it comes to the merchandise they sell, but sometimes items make their way onto their assortment improperly, and this is one of those instances.
Interesting. Now, Walmart is not the only place I've seen merchandise with Confederate flag iconography. Hearing from other businesses on this?
Yeah. So far, Sears and Kmart have announced they won't allow the sale of flag-themed merchandise either in its stores or online platforms. Now, other large retailers such as Amazon and eBay do allow the sale of Confederate flag-themed merchandise from third-party vendors. As it stands, there's been no word from those companies whether they will continue to permit the sale of those items, but we'll be watching to see if other companies follow in Walmart's footsteps.
All right. Marketplace's Adam Allington, thank you.
Thank you.
Congress gets to work this week amending and otherwise sculpting, if not chiseling, the spending plans for the Departments of Labor, Health and Human Services, and Education. Federal education and health care budgets face significant cuts, Marketplace's Tim Fitzsimmons reports.
You might think the GOP-controlled committee is responsible for these proposed cuts, but it's really the fault of the Budget Control Act, a.k.a. the sequester, which requires Congress not increase the deficit.
There is no good way to allocate this.
David Reich is with the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. The VA scandal means veterans' medical care will get more money.
There's a pretty strong consensus that there is a need for a several billion-dollar increase.
And that means less for everyone else. The size of this federal honeypot is fixed. The cuts would hit school improvement grants, literacy programs, magnet schools, teen pregnancy reduction programs. But Joel Packer from the Rabin Group says the deficit has shrunk already, which might mean both Democrats and Republicans could raise the budget caps.
Something has to happen by midnight September 30th of this year, or the whole federal government shuts down.
Another potential shutdown. But don't worry too much about this bill becoming law. It also blocks all Obamacare funding, so the chance it will be signed by the president, zilch. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
An update on Greece's plans for reform and the rest of Europe's willingness to give Greece more emergency funding. Talks today are seen as progressing in a way that could keep Greece solvent. However, some members of the left-wing ruling party in Greece say they might vote against new cuts to Greek budgets in an economy that's seen as mired in a 1930s-style depression. Now let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.2%. The DAX in Germany is up nearly 1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.2% range. Marketplace is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. To keep our coverage strong and relevant, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. Are poverty and social isolation problems for health insurance companies and doctors trying to make people healthier? Some believe that addressing social factors can reduce hospitalizations and even save money. As part of his series this week, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein is here to talk about why skeptics might still outnumber the boosters of these more holistic approaches to medicine. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, David.
In your story yesterday, you talked about people with diabetes who, for a variety of reasons, struggle to eat well. Now, I'm no doctor here, but you can imagine that if people had access to food that was healthier, wouldn't their condition improve?
Well, that certainly sounds good. Here's the thing, though, that most of us forget. We're talking about changing people's deeply rooted behaviors, often involving addiction, compounded, David, by mental illness and poverty. This work focuses on some of the sickest and most expensive Medicaid patients, the folks sometimes called the 550s and the 5% of patients using 50% of healthcare dollars. I was talking with a guy a few weeks ago who has diabetes, and his brother died of diabetes, and I asked him if he'd be willing to eat a diet tailored to his condition. He told me, maybe. Bottom line, underlying social issues may be why most people can't keep up with their chronic illnesses. But even if we've diagnosed the problem, that doesn't mean we've got the right solution.
All right, Dan. So what do we know? If these underlying issues are addressed, is there evidence that people are healthier and that insurers and maybe even taxpayers could save some dollars?
Well, here's the thing that I've learned in my reporting. People in Oregon and Massachusetts and elsewhere have shown that they've been able to cut admissions to the hospital and ER by more than a third. If we could do that nationwide, we're talking about saving hundreds of billions of dollars a year. But right now, this data, the evidence, is more of the promising variety than the convincing. I'll tell you this, David. Skeptics will continue to outnumber believers until the people funding these plans really make sure these programs are being evaluated in the most rigorous ways.
So we're going to see that happen, this rigor?
Well, look, certainly there are some people who are doing that. The thing is that this work can generate some really powerful anecdotes, but that's not enough. With so much potential, the health of some of the most marginalized and serious savings to us taxpayers, it seems essential that we better understand what this work does and what it doesn't do.
All right. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein's series about this continues tomorrow in this program. Dan, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And this Marketplace series this week is produced with support from the California Endowment Health Journalism Fellowships at USC Annenberg. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.